I'm Christine Dean, and we're about to do a Live from Studio A, but first I want to remind you that you can make your pledge of support. We want to say a big thank you to a renewing business member from Duluth, John Doberstein. Thanks so much, John, for getting us closer to that $40,000 goal. And that's when we are going to wrap up this membership drive. We are getting really close to $30,000 now. We want to be able to go over the top during this program. So you can make that happen with your pledge of support. 218-726-7181. Right now, we are happy to welcome live from Studio A, a couple of members from a band that is going to be playing at the Cabin Fever Festival in Duluth this weekend, the High 48s. Welcome, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
We have Anthony Ehrig and Eric Christopher, and they are the banjo and fiddle player. Normally, there's five of you, right?
Yes. Five pieces.
So let's mention the missing folks here, just to give them some shout-out.
Sure. On the guitar, Marty Maroney. On the mandolin, we have Mike Hedding. And on the upright bass, Rich Casey.
Okay.
Completes the band.
And you guys are playing at the Cabin Fever Festival, which is this great annual event that happens here at the Radisson, usually at the Radisson in Duluth. It's been for the last few years. And it starts tonight, continues tomorrow, and then there's morning activities on Sunday as well for those who can stick around. And when are you guys going to be performing?
We're gonna be playing tonight at 9 p.m., we're going to be playing tonight at 9 p.m. in the ballroom, tomorrow at 3:15 in the afternoon, and then again at 8:45.
And then there are workshops as well, so you guys get to do that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, we're going to be doing kind of our instruments. We got a banjo workshop, a fiddle workshop, a mandolin workshop, a guitar workshop. But I was just looking at the schedule, and I want to point out there is a saw workshop. So if you're interested in learning the musical saw, there's going to be one of those. There's a clogging workshop, music theory, all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah. How to be a dance band. I love that because there's a difference between just being a performing band and then playing for dances, which is different skill set.
Really eclectic, different workshops tomorrow, all day tomorrow.
Well, wonderful. And we'll talk more about the festival. But first, why don't we hear a tune? What do you guys want to do next? First.
We're going to play an original fiddle tune, one that I wrote for the band called Jean Marie, named it after my wife. Pretty straight ahead dance tune. Thank you.
The High 48s live from Studio A. I was tapping my toes to that one. You obviously have taken the How to Be in a Dance Band workshop, Eric.
Yes, we
Maybe you're teaching it.
I'm wondering what's up with that.
So the High 48s, from what I read on your website, which is the High 48s, the number 48.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Started in 2006, so you've been together a while.
Yeah, we just celebrated our 10th year, had a big show to celebrate that, and it's been a couple members have changed over the years, but still going very, very strong.
Have you guys been there since the beginning? Or
we're two original members.
Nice,
yeah.
Okay. Well, and there's something about playing with the same people for a period of time, I think, that you just gel after a while.
Absolutely. You can kind of read the other person's mind almost.
Mm-hmm.
For better or worse.
Some of that stuff you don't want to read.
And you're kind of in your, you know, traditional instruments in the traditional vein, but you guys do some originals, mm-hmm. and it sounds like you add kind of a modern feel to it. Tell me more about that.
We do. You know, we're all pretty steeped in the traditional sound. We play Bill Monroe, we play the Stanley Brothers, but we also will play The Clash, for instance. We're doing The Clash song Bank Robber, which started off as kind of a dub reggae tune, and now is bluegrass. So we're all about making bluegrass kind of relevant to us. None of us grew up in the South. None of us was raised on this music. We've been playing it a long time, but it's not our first language. So we're trying to make it make sense to us. Mm-hmm. We all love traditional bluegrass, but we're trying to keep it real.
That's right.
And how do you approach when you're doing, you know, a Clash cover or something? How do you approach adapting that for this genre?
Well, I mean, we always have the sort of reference points that we're thinking about. I mean, in some ways, bluegrass is always a backward-looking genre. In some ways, the way jazz is, you're always having a conversation with the past. So we'll think, what from the past am I hearing in this song? And when I listen to that bank robber song by The Clash, for instance, I heard the Carter Family, and I started sketching out kind of that a guitar line that sort of reminded me of what A.P. Carter would play. And it was, you know, it was this kind of a story song in the way that a lot of those old Carter Family songs were. So it's just a matter of sort of finding something kind of old in what's new. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not that new anymore. The song's almost 30 years old, but, you know, newish.
All relative.
It's all, in bluegrass, it's definitely relative. So.
And once you start thinking of it that way, do you kind of hear it in your head like, this is
what
would work with this?
Yep.
Well, that's fun. So Cabin Fever Festival, and have you guys played that before?
This is our first time at this festival.
Oh,
we played
really?
other MBOTMA, as they call it, festivals, the Minnesota Bluegrass and Old Time Music Association. It's mm-hmm. a long...
Yeah, you got to fit a lot of words in there. But.
So
yeah, we're excited. It's our first time here.
Nice. But I assume it's probably similar to some of the other festivals that they have in different places where they have the different kinds of bands and then the workshops and all of that stuff.
Yeah, for those that are unfamiliar with the format and you're thinking about maybe going, not only do you get to see, you know, a dozen bands play all weekend, and we mentioned workshops too, but jamming is a huge part of these festivals. So if you have a guitar or a mandolin or a banjo or a harmonica or anything, and you feel like just experimenting, playing with other people, it's a great opportunity at these festivals to just hang out with people. You know, and when it's an indoor festival like this, it might be in the hotel lounge, you know, it might be in a conference room. But I think that's probably just as much of a draw as the music itself.
Okay. And the opportunity to hang out with like-minded people and maybe play some tunes.
Yeah. Or just sit back and listen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we mentioned some of the workshops earlier, you know, not just the instrument part, but the clogging. I love that. And other things like that. How to Be a Dance Band. Is that something you guys have done? Have you done so?
We have. We do a handful of dances every mm-hmm. every year. In fact, we've got one that we're doing for the Historical Society this summer at one of their sort of outdoor shindigs. But we work with a square dance caller who gives everybody instruction, and then the band is just there to play fiddle tunes. I love those gigs because I get to play fiddle tunes all night.
But. Yeah, and bluegrass is really more of a like the traditional bluegrass is really more of a performance type of music versus old time. It's a really kind of fine line between the two, and most people don't know or care about the difference. But for bluegrass bands, it's very common for us to bring in a square dance caller to kind of help people move to the specific type of rhythm that you'll hear in bluegrass. The dance band kind of is something that's older than bluegrass, and the old time music really captures that feel. And I believe I can't remember who's teaching that one, but I would believe it's one of the old time bands.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to ask you about that. Like, what is the difference between just doing a performance versus doing something that people are going to dance to? Do you have to think about it differently as a musician?
There's a longstanding tradition in bluegrass of performance as the key element, meaning, you know, a lot of these early guys got their inspiration from the amazing improvisers in the jazz world. And there's a lot of one-upsmanship going on stage. You know, oh, you played that solo. Well, I'm going to play one even better. And there's a lot of acrobatics. There's a lot of things about the show that are more about the people on stage than necessarily the community. And it's part of that community, but it's a little different in old-time music where you might just play, instead of a fancy improvised solo, you might just play the melody over and over and over again. It's melodic. It gets in your head. It gets people's feet moving. There's subtle variations in the tempos and the feel of the music, the groove of the music. It usually has a little bit, it's a little more accessible. In bluegrass music, it's a little hard to dance to. It's very straight. It's very on top of the beat. In old-time music, it can have a little bit more of a groove to it.
Mm-hmm.
Old time is all about the groove, really. Yeah. And a lot of the tempos in bluegrass are just too fast to, mm-hmm. to dance to. So yeah.
And you said the fiddle often gets to lead the way.
Fiddle and the banjo—they're kind of like that unit of a dance band. I mean, you could if you were playing for a dance, you could probably just pare it down to just banjo and fiddle if you had to, and still have a good sort of, you know, dance band.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essential unit right there.
I'd like to think so.
So we got them right here.
Yes, right. You got your clogs with you?
Oh, no, I forgot them today. Darn it. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you guys want to do next? And then you have a new album coming out. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But first, let's hear another song.
Well, speaking of which, this one's going to be on the new record. This is an old John Hartford tune that we've just started doing. It's he originally did it just with his voice and accompanying himself on fiddle. It's a really kind of a crazy old recording on an album called Mark Twang. So it's called Long Hot Summer Day, and it's about life on the river.
Yeah, it's got maybe a little more of that old time feel.
A little bit. Gonna pick up some of these empties here just as soon as I can tell where they lay. Tie off from Jolly and leave them lines on a long, hot summer day. Every day at work on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Old Tobo picking up barges on a long, hot summer day. Consomme and a full fruit jar of iced tea on a long, hot summer day. Every day at work on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Old Tobo picking up barges on a long, hot summer day. Beardstown, when we come down yesterday, I'm gonna get off in Alton on a long, hot summer day. Every day at work on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Old Tobo picking up barges on a long, hot summer day. Old Tobo picking up barges.
the High 48s live from Studio A, covering a John Hartford tune. John Hartford, who, when he was not making music, often was working on the river. I love
that.
So, I just want to say, Anthony, I really appreciate hearing, you know, some of the differences between old-time music and, you know, the other kinds of music, because for us lay people, we might not know that and think it's all the same. So I think that's really fun and interesting to hear about.
Well, you think it's all the same for a reason, too, because they're very, I mean, they're very closely related.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. There's no, yeah, it's definitely something only if you're really immersed in the music that you care about.
I like knowing about it, though.
It's fun.
It feels like inside information.
You know, I think the history of this music lends itself to those of us who are curious about the past and, mm-hmm. and history and the kind of the different veins that grew out of the, you know, the ground.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have an album coming out on June 16th, and it's going to be called Daddy Was a Bank Robber. And you mentioned the Clash song earlier, Bank Robber, right? Yeah. Does it have an association with that?
It does. It's a line from that song.
Oh, okay.
From that song. And, yeah, it's just... I don't know, Tony. Tony does some of our graphic design work in this band. That conjured an image.
Yeah, I said I don't even care if we do the song. That's just a great album cover right there.
Wonderful. So tell me about the album. And so you put out a few albums, I think, through the years.
Eight.
Oh my goodness. So since you do original stuff as well, but you also do covers and sometimes you do traditional stuff and sometimes not so traditional stuff. So how do you decide the mix that goes on the album?
You know, it really kind of has to do with where we are at the time. You know, the band is constantly evolving. We're always just, you know, interested in new things each year. And it's kind of whatever catches our ear becomes something that we focus on. Now, in the past, we've actually kind of grouped it into, like, maybe a theme. Like, for those of you who've never heard of a High 48, it's an old rail car that could hold 40 horses or 8 soldiers. It was used in World War I. And so we did a whole record kind of dedicated to trains. But that was the only thread, really. Other than that, it was kind of all over the map in terms of originals, covers, different, you know, older-sounding tunes, newer-sounding tunes. We did a holiday record just because. Yeah, and again, you know, we did everything from classic a Bill Monroe Christmas song to some things off the Charlie Brown Christmas record and even the Grinch. For us, it's really about what moves us at the time, because honestly, that's what we enjoy doing and that's what people want to see us, you know, having fun mm-hmm. doing it.
And so how much does this band play out and what kind of venues are there that you play at in the Twin Cities?
We stay, you know, we play out just about every weekend, especially during festival season. We play a lot of bluegrass festivals. We play a lot of concert series, and you know, we travel around the Midwest. We used to travel out farther, and we may do that again. We have a few young kids in the family, so we're staying a little bit tighter, but we're still doing a lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the venues are great because, you know, you can fit, as you can see here, and this is a very small studio, folks, you can fit these instruments in tight corners, and you can fit them in barns, and you can fit them in lofts and houses, and we get to just play some of the neatest places all over the Midwest. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, fun. Well, at Radio Studios. well, we have time for one more tune. What do you guys want to wrap up with here?
Yes.
We're gonna do a tune that we put on that train record. And this is one that I wrote many years ago for my grandfather, who worked for many years on the Great Northern Railroad. This would be an example of us kind of looking back at the genre and trying to stay true to some of the, you know, the ethos of bluegrass. And my grandfather lived a really tough life working on the railroad. He was, I think, pretty much sold from his family at about sixth grade, kind of sold to the neighbor's farm for labor, worked his way, you know, with a sixth grade education to the train yards in St. Paul, Minnesota, and ended up working until he got injured. And back then, if you got injured, you know, you weren't making any money. And so things went from kind of bad to worse for him. He turned to the bottle. It's really kind of a tragic story. But when you kind of look at all the pieces, you know, in retrospect, he made a lot of sacrifices for my mom and for us and for the family. And honestly, that's a big theme in bluegrass, is just understanding the generations and how they tie into each other. So I wrote this for him, kind of in honor of him in the bluegrass style. It's called The Great Northern Railroad. Well, I punch the clock at dawn. I work the rail yard all day long. I walk them tracks with the crooked back whistling a worried song. And at the end of every day, I head to the bar and stay till all my aches and sorrows have been drowned.
Cause on that Great Northern Railroad I live life and grown old, and I left my dreams behind. But perhaps on account of me, my kids won't ever have to see live on that Great Northern Railroad line. Time has had its way with me, and so has the company. Now I walk with a cane and I live with the pain of my injury. I once laid these tracks with pride for a train I'd never ride, and I guess that's gonna be my legacy. On that Great Northern Railroad I live life and grown old, and I left my dreams behind. But perhaps on account of me, my kids won't ever have to see live on that Great Northern Railroad line. Well, I care for my family so, but reckon they'll never know. Cause unless I lay that bottle down, you know I don't let it show. I'm just a loving, angry man, unhappy with the good Lord's plan. And I pray I'll be forgiven when I go home. On that Great Northern Railroad, I live life and grown old, and I left my dreams behind. But perhaps on account of me, my kids won't ever have to see alive on that Great Northern Railroad line. Perhaps on account of me, my grandkids won't ever have to see alive on that Great Northern Railroad line.
That is Anthony and Eric from the High 48s live from Studio A. Thanks so much, guys.
Our pleasure. Thanks so much.
And they're playing at the Cabin Fever Festival here in Duluth, going on all weekend long. And if you want to see more information about the band and about the Cabin Fever Festival, you can go to KUMD.org and check the High 48s little article we have there. And it's got links to their website and the Cabin Fever website. And you guys are going to be playing Friday and Saturday, involved in some workshops.
Workshops, yeah. We'd love to meet all the pickers up here in Duluth. Well, we don't get up here nearly enough. So.
There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of pickers up here.
It's a great music town.
It is. Well, thank you so much, guys. How many singers are there in the band? You both are singing. Anybody else in the band sing?
Four total.
Yeah, I mean, everybody sings. Or even our bass player will sing a little bass. But but yeah, we all do. We all take turns. Except nice. Mike, our mandolin player, doesn't sing leads. But
okay.
Yeah.
But everybody jumps in on the three-part, four-part harmonies.
And the last very important question I have is, a lot of your pictures online have you in suits. Are you guys? Is that your normal attire for?
We've never not played a gig in a suit.
Nice.
So it's constant.
Yeah, for those that are unfamiliar with the kind of the history, Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass music, he made all of his musicians wear suits and ties. He wanted to look good. He wanted to separate himself out from some of the more country, more hillbilly music that was coming out at the time. Wanted to set himself apart, and that's been a hallmark of traditional bluegrass since the father himself. So, if you see suits and ties, it's the real deal.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Quentin Stille, as well as Aaron Welch and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.